Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday, in our study of 1 Samuel chapter 30, Dr. Bloom was sharing seven observations concerning Memorial Day as he started our study of chapter 30. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
The second observation is this. We celebrate it today, Memorial Day, with cookouts, picnics, and a general party attitude with a few quiet moments maybe for playing of taps if you go to somewhere where they have a memorial festivities. Now, isn't that interesting? If one of our loved ones were to die today, we wouldn't say, hey, let's have a cookout and a picnic and let's party some. That's not really a good thing. But that's how we remember it now, and the actual soldier is not really remembered quite that much. A third observation about Memorial Day, and so forth, is very few people can give a first, middle, and last name for someone they know personally that died in World War I. Most of us weren't alive. We don't know them. More people that died in World War II, but yet there are many of them that we wouldn't know. Now, my dad fought in World War II, and I'm sure that he might, at 94 years old, remember one or two here and there. He may not remember their names, but he remember fighting by them. And then I think of Korea, and there's more, and then Vietnam, and then the Gulf Wars. And people died. Now, many view this Memorial Day as a holiday and not really remembering anyone particularly and not even thinking that much about dying for our country and dying to preserve principles in which we believe. And the memorials that we do hold to of people that we think about is more recent. We're not thinking in line of the whole history of our country. Then a fourth observation. Some people died foolishly by not following procedure or orders. Some died by friendly fire. Some were not necessarily dying, holding back an oppressive enemy, just some kind of a foul-up. Maybe they got hit by a Jeep. And these are just things that we think about that, yet they were in the service of their country when they died. A fifth observation is the lives of young people who fought for the enemy were just as precious to their parents, their mates, and their children. I can remember my dad telling me about a German soldier, young kid. He said couldn't have been more 17, 18 years old. And he said he was holding him in his arms, and the kid was dying there from gunshot wounds. And he was trying to say something to my dad in German, and my dad didn't know German. The boy didn't know English. And he died there in his arms trying to say something to him. And what that was, my dad would never know, and it's kind of one of those helpless times. I wonder how many people will die and go to hell and say, scream out, there's no help. A sixth observation is their victories assured another day, but a victory does not necessarily assure another victory. You see, We must fight our own battles. We have a good heritage. I look at my own personal life, the family in which I grew up. I have a godly heritage. But my godly heritage does not fight my battles. Hopefully I gather from that enough to stand as I ought to stand. And then there is a seventh observation that I want to make about this before we really get into our text today. You know, a memorial is really what we fight for. Whether we live or die, it's the principles and purposes, the country itself. And I have met different ones that have fought in battles, fought in wars for us. And the mental scars continue. Physical scars continue. And those scars are a memorial, whether one lives through it or dies in war, fighting alongside his countrymen. I have a grandson studying for the ministry, but he was released early for an injury that he received jumping out of the airplanes in the 82nd Airborne. And so what I'm trying to say is that when you're serving your country, there is a memorial that we think about that is not necessarily tied up in living or dying this side of eternity, but that for which you stand. No, you and I one day are going to appear before God. And it's not going to be our station as far as how much money we earned, how many friends we had, what kind of a house did we live in, but rather it's going to revolve around those principles from God by which we chose to live. Now, in our text, David is returning from the armies of the Philistines that we just covered in chapter 29. He and his men have been unceremoniously dismissed from that army. Now they're on a 3-day journey back to the place that they presently are calling home. That place was Ziklag, and really, it's not a great memorial in and of itself. And so we see the Amalekites have attacked. I believe that they're seeking revenge. Let's read now verses 1 through 3 again. It says, "And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the 3rd day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south, Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire. And had taken the women captives, and that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away, and they went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives, and their sons, and their daughters were taken captive." And so we see here, they carry a memorial, that is, the Amalekites carry a memorial in their mind. You say, what do you mean? Well, do you remember back in 1 Samuel chapter 27, verses 8 and 9, what it says there? "And David and his men went up and invaded the Geshurites and the Gezerites and the Amalekites. For those nations were of old the inhabitants of the land, as thou goest to Shur, and unto the land of Egypt. And David smote the land, and left neither man nor woman alive, and took away the sheep, and the oxen, and the asses, and the camels, and the apparel, and returned, and came to Achish." Now, as these Amalekites go, and they find that these towns of theirs had been wiped out, they want to get revenge. They may not know who did it at the moment, but they get together, they travel. Don't you think they could recognize their own animals? They could recognize the other things that David and his men had taken when they had invaded there, and some of the clothing and the other things that they had taken. Perhaps they did that, then they thought, we're going to get even, but in a different way. And so that's what they do. Let me give an illustration of what I'm trying to point out here. Two football teams are playing each other. You've got the two coaches. And team one defeats team two. But team one is 20 points ahead. They have the ball. And there's about 20 seconds left in the game. But the coach, with 20 seconds left for team one, who's 20 points ahead, calls for a timeout because he wants to score again before the game is over. Well, team two coach says, I'll remember this. The next time they play, he doesn't want to just win. He wants to humiliate the other team and that other coach. And when he does, he finds, although it's somewhat sinister, a satisfaction in humiliating them more than in just winning the game. Sometimes as a parent, we realize that when we have to spank our children, we have to correct them. We do that to win a victory for morality and good in their life. But our chief goal is not to humiliate them and enjoy that. Now, if you'll notice verse 16 here in this chapter that we're in now, it says, and when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And so now, they are really putting it in their face. They have spared them to humiliate them. Maybe they'll sell them or use them as slaves. But the eating, the drinking, the dancing speaks of a sinister joy in exacting this revenge. The city of Ziklag had been burned with fire, leaving no supplies. So when the men returned, they can't grab supplies to pursue these guys. And so it will affect David's army. And we'll see that in verse 10 when David pursues, he and 400 men, but 200 of those 600 men he had started out with stayed back. So he now only has 400 because 200 were so faint. They couldn't go any further. So they had to stay back 200 out of the 600 men. And so that will cause a problem down the road for some of them. But right now, these guys are in trouble.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click to the lamp and light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ. Christ Jesus.